Page 136, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Introit. The Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me.
I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Glory be to God on high.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, who never failest to help and govern those whom thou dost bring up in thy steadfast fear and love, make us to have a perpetual fear and love of thy holy name, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Trinity is from the 25th chapter of Isaiah. And in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from the third chapter of 1 John. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This is the word of the Lord.
In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips. And from a deceitful tongue. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Hallelujah.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Then he said to him, A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, Come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you. sermon text is from Luke 14, verse 16. Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many." This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Those who trust in their own righteousness for salvation will not be saved. Salvation comes through faith or trust in Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the world. In today's Holy Gospel, it records Jesus' interaction with those who falsely claim not only to be saved, but proudly declare that they themselves are holy and righteous apart from Jesus. For those who are ignorant of salvation, well, Jesus gently teaches. He teaches them their sins. He invites them to receive the gift of salvation through faith. Many of the poor, the sick, the outwardly sinful came to believe through Jesus' teaching. However, for these Pharisees, they deny their sin. They boast in their supposed righteousness and in their holiness, which they think came from keeping the law. Jesus speaks to them, well, not like he did just to the ignorant who need to be taught. He speaks harsh words of warning. The last words of Jesus' parable are directed directly at them. Though they claim to be blessed and going to heaven, Jesus says, "None of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." Ouch. Now, I know this response sounds harsh. However, Jesus does this because he loves the Pharisees. He doesn't want them to die in their sins. He's trying to warn them of their lost condition before it is too late. He wants to turn them from their evil way, that they would trust, accept his invitation to the supper, the great and glorious gospel, so that they would trust in God's Son, and thus they would go to heaven. Only those who eat the gospel, inwardly digest the gospel while here on earth, will enjoy that eternal banquet which is in heaven. So in today's Holy Gospel, here's Jesus. He's sitting at a table, an earthly supper, if you will, and it's provided by one of these rulers of the Pharisees. But the Pharisees did not invite him for the purpose of actually listening to his teaching or being taught by his message. They invited him because, well, they were trying to catch him. The text right before this says they were watching him closely, trying to catch him doing something wrong. Second, these Pharisees, as they chose the places at the table of this earthly banquet, they did it based upon their comparison of their good works with someone else. Thus, once again, their works righteousness, they thought that they were better than others, and so they deserved a better place at the table. Jesus is trying to teach them some humility. He says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted." And thirdly, Jesus sees that their supposed generousness, and they were bragging about how generous they were, was not really that at all. It was simply one rich man giving to another rich man a gift, who then would invite the same one right back over. It's not generousness at all. Jesus tells them if they want to be generous, they need to invite those who cannot repay them, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. This is the kind of action that is truly generous. And finally, Jesus tells a parable about a supper. The supper is not really about that earthly supper, and it's not really about Lord's Supper either. It is a tale about a heavenly banquet. Heaven, if you will. It's about being in heaven with God. After telling the Pharisee the truth that they are not saved, Jesus warns the large crowd who were following him about the cost of discipleship And then Jesus ends the entire chapter saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." You would think, this is the point. But that's not the response he gets from the Pharisees. It's not what he expects. He wants them to hear his words. He wants them to repent of their works righteousness and to trust in the good news which he is preaching to them. You see, our Heavenly Father has been preparing this heavenly banquet ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin. The plan, though, was conceived even before the creation of the world. Our God has been putting everything into place, and at just the right time, he sent us his Son. The Jewish nation, they were given advance notice. They had the Old Testament, the words of the prophets. And that was their invitation, that the Messiah would come. Invitation to trust in God's promise. They were then to take that message, trusting in it themselves. They were to be a light to the Gentiles. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5 says this, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." We might be adopted into his family through faith. But finally, after years of waiting, the Father proclaimed the meal was ready, the completion of his work of salvation. John the Baptist burst on the scene and he declared that Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus came proclaiming the good news that whoever believes in him and is baptized would be saved. He even did miracles showing that he was the promised Messiah. And then, at the end, Jesus performed the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for sins. Jesus describes all this with the words, "Come, for all things are now ready." Come, for all things are now ready. The apostles would go out. They would go out preaching this good news of the forgiveness of sins. But already at the time of John and Jesus' preaching, there were those who were rejecting this invitation to believe and to receive. They were saying no to John and no to Jesus. They had excuses they gave for not trusting in the Messiah for salvation. But that list of excuses was simply a list of their idols. Every person has a God, that in which you trust is surely your God. The Pharisees trusted in the works, their own works of salvation. The Pharisees trusted in their positions and their power. The religious zealots trusted in their commitment to rebel. But I tell you, none of these can receive the invitation that Jesus is giving because they're trusting, holding to something else and that which is their God. Oh, they hear the words of Jesus, but not really. They consider his words interesting, but they don't trust in it. The man who speaks up at today's Holy Gospel feast has completely rejected the idea of a supper that would be given of free forgiveness. You see, there's no mention of the man's sins. There's no mention of the Messiah's person or work. There's no mention of the gospel invitation to believe. The man remains unrepentant, unbelieving. He's one of these Pharisees at the table, and yet he says, "Oh, blessed is the man who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." He casts Jesus aside. He disregards faith, forgiveness, and yet he thinks that he is saved. He declares, "Well, I'm looking forward to having bread in the kingdom. I'm looking forward to feasting." No wonder Jesus says to the man, "None of those who were invited shall taste my supper." He's trying to jar the man to understand the teaching. Yes, we too We need to look at this story. My dear Christian friends, we need to pay careful attention. Because you see, you and I have been welcomed into the kingdom of God. We are the ones who are the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. Initially, we were outside the nation of Israel, but their rejection of the Messiah turned into our invitation. The Master said, "Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." We were invited. St. Paul says in Romans 11, "I say then, have they," he's talking about the Jews, "have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles." You see, now God hopes that our acceptance, having received the invitation that wasn't initially to us, having received it, Paul says that God hopes that the Jews will become jealous of the grace that we have received. And then they too will accept the invitation. But that teaching is a topic for another sermon. Today we need to make note of the words where he says, "Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Compel them to come in. We are those. We are those who have been compelled to come in. But I know the word compel, it almost sounds violent. You would think it would involve physical restraint and struggling victims, and somehow you think that maybe people are somehow saved against their will. But the context makes it clear that it's not speaking of that at all. Compelled means they're compelled by the words. The words of the servant that goes out and speaks to them, that servant's words compels them to come, for all things are now ready. So, how does Jesus do this? How do the words compel? Well, there are two things that need to be overcome, and the words actually do that. During one of my trips, I was taking Word and Sacrament down for our mission at Fort Myers, and I stay with Chuck and Joyce Mann while I'm there. And we were talking about the hurricane that had gone through, and I was talking to some of the fellow residents in their community about the evacuations when the hurricane came. And several of them told me, you know, how they boarded up their houses, they secured supplies, they traveled to a secure site. The words about the hurricane coming let them know their need. It compelled them to board things up and get out of town. That's what they did. Although, I must admit that this was after the fact, and some of them even told me, "We'll never do that again." They played it up big, but that it was nothing. "We're staying here. We're going to ride it out." Okay. Maybe so. Living in southern Illinois, I don't know much about hurricanes. But when it comes to salvation, we need to understand the destruction that is caused by sin. Until the law shows you your sinful condition, that your lack of righteousness, you will stay put. And you know, you'll hold on to your works righteousness, your material existence, your pleasure-seeking life. But like the man at the feast, you may even think, "Oh, I'm fine, I'm blessed. I'm probably attending the heavenly feast, everything's good." But the first thing we need to learn is our sin so that we seek shelter. Shelter in the gospel message of Jesus' forgiveness. And that's the second thing that the words need to compel us. We need to be taught that the way to overcome the despair that has been shown us by our sins is by the gospel forgiveness. You see, many people doubt that God truly wants to save them. But the words of God can bring convincing. They can be compelled. They can be compelled to trust in, to eat up the great and glorious gospel of Christ. Once you realize your sin, the words can show you that our God is serious. He's desiring you to come and to be at His table. There is nothing you could possibly have done that would have Him reject you. He wants you to come to Him. You should not feel out of place in His kingdom. Everyone here is a forgiven sinner. Everyone here is also holding to the forgiveness of sins and trusting in God's love for us. Even now, God is welcoming us into His church and desires to adopt us as His son. You will find that those who believe, their despair has been replaced with peace and hope and joy. They know they are loved by God. They know it. They are, in fact, blessed to eat bread in the kingdom of God. The word compel has the sense of convincing you that you belong here. It includes showing you your great danger. But apart from Jesus, well, then you're apart from the heavenly supper. But it shows you His great love so that you believe the words of His mouth. I want you. I want you to come. Believe in my Son and be saved. I want you to eat the great and glorious banquet of gospel in my house. Turn from your sins and live. It compels us. The words compel us to believe and to trust in Christ. Whatever idol it is that is keeping you from holding on to that announcement of forgiveness, throw that idol away. Whatever is telling you that you are truly blessed apart from Jesus is lie. Here in the divine service, the teaching of God's word of Jesus is showing you your predicament, and it is giving you the invitation to believe in His Son. Here you are being compelled to leave your lying idols behind and to taste Jesus' supper. Through faith in Jesus Christ, there is blessedness. All of those who believe will taste Jesus' supper. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. The Offertory, page 143. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give You thanks that from eternity You have prepared for us a feast of grace, that Your Son, Jesus Christ, in time fulfilled Your will, and that feast of forgiveness is now ready. We give You thanks that Your Holy Spirit continues to send out, as prophets and apostles, so now pastors, to announce this good news, saying, come, for everything is now ready. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
O Lord, create in us a new heart that we may not cling to our idols of possessions, business, and family, thus making excuses for despising Your gospel message, which is offered in the preaching of the word, confession and absolution, holy baptism, and the feast of Lord's Supper. We ask that all pastors, including our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, that they would clearly emphasize the benefit, the need, usefulness, and blessing of God's word and sacraments, as well as the harm and danger of neglecting it. We ask that all God's people would use their gifts of possessions, business, and family as a means of speaking the gospel and inviting others to the feast of the kingdom. Bless our Director Keeley, our teachers and staff. We ask that the children enrolled in our summer academy would grow up into the knowledge of the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We commend to your care our President Joe, our Governor J.B., our Mayor Steve, city officials, all our judges, that they may rule and govern in godliness and honesty. We bring before you our soldiers, Marines, airmen, sailors, and special forces, especially Danny, Jason, and Blake. For our police officers, especially Alex and Daniel, those who put their lives in harm's way in order to defend our freedom, we ask that you would protect them from all danger and lift their spirits during times of trial. Help our fathers to provide and care for their households, not only with physical support and outward love, but also by teaching the true faith in daily words of family devotion, loving acts, which serve as examples of our Heavenly Father's love. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless our shut-in Carolyn, our elderly Tom and Violet. Provide for the needs of Kevin, Levi, Anita, Larry and Deb, Christina, and Harold. Be with our students, with Kara and Jonathan. And we give thanks to you that the studies for Benjamin and Jacob have come to a conclusion this past Friday. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
He is good and right unto you.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit, Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us.
O Christ, the Lamb of God,
for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and drink. This is the true blood. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you, body and soul, unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Take and drink.
This is the true blood. shed for you. Take and drink. This is the true wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve your body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve this body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Thank you.
take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take and drink the true blood of Christ, shed for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve your body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
God, now and forever.